I realized today,
but you know how you realize things and then you forget? In the Kabbalah, they call it the forgetting. We forget, we get really aligned and we're going to do things and we're going to change the world, and then we forget. And I remember this today, and I forgot it. I picked up the Gita and it reminded me, the Bhagavad Gita. And it reminded me of why I still experience so much fear in my life. You might think I don't experience fear. You might think I'm immune from that. People think that if you write a book and you make a film, and you do, you know, you become a martial arts practitioner, that you're suddenly immune from fear. But I have biology, I have physiology. You know, I'm in a physical body, I've got an ego. So of course, while I'm in this body, I'm gonna feel the lamentations of this physical body. But I realized that most of my fear came from the fact that I expect too much. It's an irony, because when I expect nothing, when I do something and expect nothing, I do it from a place of love. I get fucking everything. Everything I want to get, it comes. It's massive. What comes is massive. I once spent a couple of hours talking to a young lad who wanted to be a writer. And it led on to me becoming BAFTA nominated, winning a BAFTA. And the BAFTA opening immense doors for me to make films and stage plays, and doors in me and doors out there. I spent a couple of hours with him from a place of love. Every time I work from a place of selflessness and expect nothing, I get everything, everything, everything. When I work from a place of expectation, what I get is fear. What if they don't deliver? What if they don't pay me? What if I don't win an award? What if the film's terrible and people judge me? What if I go and do my talk and I'm not very good, or a dry, and people judge me? What if my wife leaves me? What if I'm too good to her and she just, you know, she thinks I'm soft and she leaves me? What if my mom reads something that I've written that she doesn't like and attacks me or abandons me? You know, it's all, when I realize that all of my fears that I have are all based on expectation. They're all based on the fact that I'm serving, but not from a place of love. I'm serving from a place of expectation. I'm not serving from a place of faith or trust. If I have an intuition to do a film or a book or an article or a podcast, like for instance, I do these podcasts, I don't think about them. I just do them and I put them out there. I expect nothing back. People, the cynical people out there, will say that it's a lost leader. He's doing it to get work. I don't care about the work. I don't care. I don't care about the money. I'm not arrogant about that. That's not why I do this. I do this because I want to plant seeds. I want to put stuff out there in the world, so that anybody that's waking up at 4 a.m. in a cold sweat because they're depressed, or anybody that's in the middle of a fearful episode, might be able to access something I've said, and they might associate with it and it might help them. I like doing that. I like doing it especially because it makes me feel good. And when I talk to you, I become a conduit for what I talk about, and I get to learn what I'm telling you. Most of the stuff I talk about here is stuff that comes through me. I just let it flow. That's why I'm able to do so many. I couldn't do those off my own records or off my own, you know, book intellect. It just wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't do the job it needs to do. So, and I get a great response from doing podcasts and from doing articles and from doing spontaneous things where I just don't think about the response. When I spoke to this lad, his name was Ben Carlish. He was a really lovely lad. He's a really good writer, actually. But at the time, he was working in Waterstones, and he was like a sales assistant, stacking shelves and stuff. When I spoke to him and I had a couple of hours with him, he wanted to interview me and try and sell the article to the Big Issue, and I think he did. I didn't think about what was in it for me. I just felt a divine connection and I spoke to him, then I moved on. I never thought about it again. It was only a few weeks later when I got a phone call from his sister, Natasha, who was a producer, that I put the link together and thought, oh, that's that lad I spoke to the other week. And she asked me to make a film and then we won a BAFTA. And that's just how it was. Exactly like that. Look, people have asked me about London Real. People really like my London Real interview. And I've got a great response from the interview that Brian and Nick did for me, and I remain friends with both of them. I see Brian quite often, And he's very kind to me. He does a lot of promotion for me without me having to ask him to. But that interview came about. I don't know if I was really high profile enough for such an established podcast, but they invited me to do it, and I wasn't quite sure how I got the invite until I turned up and I spoke to the co-host at the time, Nick. And he said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't remember you." And he said, 10 years ago, I was living in South Africa and I was a broke student and I wrote to you. And I said, "Will you send me a free book? I've got no money. I'll pay you back one day." I remember laughing because I remembered it, because I said to my wife, "Listen to this guy, cheeky git. He wants a free book." I said, "I really like him. I like his honesty. You know, he's honest. There's something, I could feel a divine connection." So I just said, "Send him a free book." I sent him a free book. 10 years later, I'm at London Real and I'm there because he promised to pay me back. So I do these two interviews and I get a great response, and it plants hundreds of thousands of seeds for me. I can't tell you how much I've got from that. It's been really, really good. But I didn't, when I sent him that book, I didn't think, oh, in 10 years time something good might come from this. I didn't think in a year's time, or maybe he'll mention somebody, maybe he's connected. I didn't even know who he was. He was just an anonymous guy. I've got a plethora of stories like that, loads of stories where you just do things without thinking about it. So in the Bhagavad Gita, they would call this fruitless service where we give the fruit of the service over to God. So we don't think about we don't think about what's in it for us, basically. This is a difficult skill to manage in business, because, you know, we still have to work, we still have to earn, we still have to charge people, and we charge people proportionately to where we are and to what we're doing, you know. So, you know, and we have to still manage that. And if we are charging a lot for what we do, we have to make sure that is proportionate, that what we're charging, people are getting a good return for that. But most of the exchanges you do will not involve money at all. The majority of them won't involve money. Some of them will, and that's the way society is at the moment. That's important, because people have a belief in money, and society is ran with money. So we need to be working within that system so that we can build websites and put out material on the internet and print books, and, you know, so we need to understand we need to have an understanding of money. We don't need to be attached to it or not attached to it. We just need to have an understanding of that shape of energy and be good at using it. But even when you're working with money, you can still go and talk to somebody and have no expectations of where that's going to go. I remember a guy writing to me, a beautiful man called Mike. I hope Mike doesn't mind me talking about him, but he wrote to me with something he wanted to talk about many, many years ago. I rang him up, we had a chat on the phone. I never thought no more about it. He was just an anonymous guy who was troubled about something, and I was able to help him at that moment in time. But there was no expectation, because I didn't know him. It was just a quick phone call. A couple of years later, he'd come on one of my courses. At the time, I was the patron of an addiction centre in Coventry. And he knew about this, Mike did. And I found out privately that he'd paid their rent for a whole year. And I couldn't believe it. And I grabbed him and I said, "I'm really grateful that you've paid their rent. They've been really struggling." And I took him out. We went and had a cream tea. And it turns out that he was a very successful businessman. And we became very fast friends. And he just produced the Pyramid Text. He paid for that and produced it. Wasn't bothered about profit. He's a successful businessman, and he wanted to patronise something that he believed in. Pyramid Text is a beautiful film it's a discourse about fear. And he's doing another film, he's producing another film that I did, that I've written, called Three Sacks Full of Hats. So he gave me this 50 grand to get these two films made. We give it to the lads who do, the Shemazians who did the Pyramid Text. They produced it, and the other money is going to go to the producer, my friend Lee, that's going to produce Three Sacks Full of Hats. But that 50 grand just came. It came miraculously, and I'm sure I'll be doing a lot more with this particular guy, because he's so philanthropic, and he has a great care about what goes out into the world. But that came about through a 30-minute phone call where there was no expectation, none. I'm being very careful about what stories I'm telling here. But I'm a teacher, and it's important to tell stories, but it's important that you know the reason I'm telling the stories is because you need proof. People need proof that service where you surrender the fruits are the most profitable. At the level of the highest level of service, the service is the reward, because you feel bliss when you do it. It feels great when you come off the phone. I remember speaking to my wife once, and I was urgent. I said, listen, Chaz, we've got to do a film and talk to millions of people. We've got to touch millions of people. That's what we've got to do. I said, you know, this working one at a time is hard. It's like I'm just not getting to enough people. And I got this urgency to talk to people. And she grabbed my hand across the table and she said, listen, Jeff, she said, the films are good and it's important that you do the film. She said, but there's nothing more important and nothing bigger than spending half an hour on the phone with a stranger talking him through his depression. A lot of the guys I know in the spiritual world, in the in the motivational world, people like Ian Abernethy and they spend a lot of time replying to people, talking to people, where there's no money exchange, where they're not thinking it's a lost leader or this will be good for me later. They plant seeds in the divine economy because it's the right thing to do. They don't look at the fruits, they don't think of the fruits, they give the fruits over to God. And everything they need comes back in abundance. Someone like Ian Abernethy is one of the best I've ever seen at doing it. He's a beautiful man, an amazing martial artist, a world-class martial artist. And he just got time for everybody, you know, and if people write to him, he gets back to them, he talks to them. He doesn't fear giving his story away. He doesn't fear giving his material away. I've got another friend called Johnny as well, who's in the dating game, and he's the same. He gives out loads and loads and loads of free stuff to people. He doesn't care whether it comes back to him or not. I mean, he's a businessman as well, but he doesn't care. He does it because it feels good and it's the right thing to do. So in the Gita, they say that most of our pain and most of our lament and most of our troubles come from expectation. We expect things from our wife. We may not think we expect them. We expect things from our husband. We may not think we expect them, but we do. You know, there are certain things that if we don't get, we'll be moody. We'll be huffy. We'll give them a cold back in bed. There's certain expectations. In business, we have expectations. And everything's based on these expectations. And if we don't get if the expectations don't come, then we start to suffer fear and anxiety and all the rest of it, because we don't trust the divine economy. Money only exists because people don't trust the divine economy. If people trusted the divine economy, there would be no need to use IOUs like money. Money is basically an IOU. The money is fundamentally, it's an exchange of energy, and the money that we have, the numbers in the bank and the bullion in the bank and the paper money and the coins, they're just ledgers. They're just keeping tally of who owes who what. In a divine economy, if you were a divine capitalist, you wouldn't have to use money. At some point, that will probably be the way. There wouldn't be no money used. People would just trust the divine economy. Things would come. You would give things out, and it would come back just as they were meant to, and when they were meant to. And it would be based much more on what it should be based on, which is on the vow, based on the word, based on the sound. So. I realised today that when I have anxiety in my life, if I have fear in my life, it's because I have my ego takes charge and has too much expectation. What's in this for me? What am I going to get from this? You know. And if you're living a life of virtue and you're living a clean life and you're an honest person, then you should have no fear of what's going to come and what's going to be returned. If you are living an immoral life and you're fiddling your taxes and you're fiddling your expenses and you're having affairs and you're living an excessive life, of course you're going to be in fear all the time anyway, because the reciprocal universe is going to continually keep bringing back to you what you've been giving out. That's definite. There's no doubt about that. But if you're living a virtuous life, then there should be no reason for fear. But one of the higher virtues, which is one of the traps I fell into, was expectation. When we expect too much. When I do it spontaneously, everything is amazing. Everything happens beautifully and things come back that you couldn't believe. You wouldn't believe if you wrote it in fiction, you wouldn't believe it. And when I start to contrive things and start to presume people might fiddle me, or people might not pay, or people or that people might try and steal the accolades or not share the accolades, and or that I might do a film and it might dent my reputation, or you know, that's when I'm bartering with the universe, and I'm not giving over the fruits. Once I let go of giving over the fruit, once I let go of it and go, I'm going to do this film because I intuitively feel it. I'm going to do this act of kindness because I intuitively feel it. I'm going to do this talk because I intuitively feel it. I am sure that the fear will go completely, because there'll be no expectation of what we're going to get from it. We'll just give that over. We'll just say, I'm going to turn up, you know, and everything I do, I'm going to turn up. Then I'm never going to think about it again. And if you are thinking about what you've done and what's returned to you and what should be returned to you, it's because you're not doing enough. I had a friend recount all the people that had let him down over his life. He said, I did stuff for them with no expectations, and they didn't return the favour, and now I fell out from. So reciprocation doesn't work. But actually reciprocation does work. He got back exactly what he gave out. He gave out a barter. Perhaps he gave it from the right place, and perhaps he gave it from a place of love. And then afterwards sees the guy as successful and thinking, why isn't he doing something for me? Where's my cut in that? And suddenly expectation comes in, and then it spoils the whole thing. We go from the divine intellect to a book intellect. We go from the divine economy to the political economy. So if we can do things, you know, without expectation, and you know, we do our best and we put all our things in place, and we fully commit and we fully surrender and work from a place of love. And this might be an instant decision to do something, or it might be a 5-year job that you're doing. Everything you need and everything you want will come. I guarantee it. That's how the universe works at its most beautiful. One of my friends said to me, I like my workers to be afraid of me, because if they're not afraid of me, if they're too friendly with me, they'll take advantage of me, of my kind nature, which isn't true. You know, you can't take advantage of love. How can you take advantage of love? You can take advantage of a personality if he's got a weak personality, but you can't take advantage of love. And I said to him, well, if you're working from a place of love and you're working from a place of kindness, of course you have to be firm at times, but your workers will give you 10 times more than you'll get when you're working from fear. When you're working from fear, you won't get a good job out of people. They'll do half a job and they'll do you whenever they can, because that's the kind of environment you've created. And he said, yeah, but you know, I've got expectations of people at work. Of course I've got expectations, they've got to do their job. I said, well, that's not really an expectation, that's a requirement. And if they don't meet that requirement, you can help them to meet that requirement. So it's not an expectation, it's a requirement. There's a difference. With a requirement, we say, these are the things that you are required to do with this job. Can you do them? And they say, yeah. And if they can't do them, you go to them, you say, you're not meeting the requirement. Can I help you? Where are you struggling? And that might mean helping them to meet their requirements, or it might mean letting them go from that job, but helping them to meet their requirements somewhere else. And then it would be tough love. But I keep coming back to the thing before. If there's a lot of anxiety in your life, if there's a lot of fear in your life, it may be because everything you're doing is based on expectation. Even if you're having a sex with your wife or your husband, there may be an expectation that if you do certain things and you're a certain person, it's your conjugal right, you know, to be able to have sex, or to, you know, to be able to be intimate. And if that doesn't come, you end up falling out and having arguments, which basically means we end up bullying each other because we're not getting what we expect to get. What I found with sex in anything else is that the more I expect it, the less I get it. And I find that when I don't expect it, and when I don't put demands to have it, it comes in abundance. Whatever I want comes in abundance. So that's the lesson I'm kind of teaching today, but it's also the lesson I'm teaching myself. I've had some anxiety myself recently. I've been stretched. I've had a busy year, a lot of things going on. And I realised today that my fear is based on the fact that I'm not giving the fruits of my labour over to a higher force. I'm trying to control and barter with it. And if I want to get the maximum effect from my work. I need to surrender that. They call it in esoteric practice, they call it intent and surrender. I may intend to write a beautiful film that's Oscar level, but I will surrender the outcome of that. Because I don't know what the best potential for my film or my play or my meeting or my business transaction is. I don't know. I only know that I have an intuition to do it and to do it at the best of my ability. And I have an idea of where I'd like it to go, but I have to work with the universe and let the universe find the optimum route for it. And the universe will work out and calculate the millions of possible routes that your project can take, and it will find the optimum route. But it won't do that if you're trying to calculate it and you're trying to control it and you're trying to push when you should yield, or you're trying to yield when you should push. So it's working with the universe, it's working with God, but doing the work and surrendering it and giving it over. So we're not sitting there thinking, what's in this for me? When we keep thinking, what's in this for me, nothing will be in it for you. And you'll be anxious. When we forget about it, we do so many things that we're not looking for what's in it for us, because we've forgotten we've done it, because we've done it so many times. Everything you want will come, and in abundance.